pray that you would now speak to our hearts, help us to be receptive, and Lord, somebody in here needs something from the Word today, and I know you won't disappoint them. So I pray that we'd, with eagerness, listen to your Word read. I thank you for Brett's verses, and I thank you for Naomi's verses, and now I pray, Jesus, your verses that come from some familiar passages, things that we've probably read in our life. Maybe they'll just spring alive to us today. So Lord, the service is yours. I pray that you'd honor us as we honor you. Please bless us, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. We prayed together. We are prayerfully looking forward to what God's going to do. He's going to speak to our hearts. If you need a Bible, we can get you one. Anybody need a Bible? Raise your hand. James has got them coming around right there. Today, happy Thanksgiving again. Thanks for praying with me. And Chris, for some reason, this is not working. All right, I'm going to show you a picture right there and ask you if you can tell what that is. If you say it looks like a partially built fence. Can anybody tell what that is? Yeah, if be thankful for today's message. Be thankful for what? Be thankful for this. Be thankful for the Good Shepherd. That's a sheepfold, and isn't that a beautiful scene? Looks like it's out in Giles right there. I've got the creek going right by you. Got the place that the sheep can go in. And I want to talk to you today about the Good Shepherd. I'm thankful for Jesus being my Good Shepherd. That's another sheepfold. And there is another one. Say, where are these? Look back through there. They got a few more. It's something neat about sheep and the fact that we can take them into this, lead them into there. We can stay safe the night, and then we jump out and take, you know, go on our way the next day. It's amazing if you'd stop and think about that. Where do sheep stay? They don't stay in a barn. They're not at a farm. They're being led. And who leads them? The Good Shepherd. If you'll notice, the shepherd sitting right down here in the gate, he is the door. And so the shepherd becomes the door of that sheep gate. And his sheep get to go in there, and they're going to be secure for the night. The next day they pack it up and move on down the road. So I think it's interesting that they're not farm animals. Don't take me wrong, but some churches have farm animals. You know, I know if y'all moved, I can tell that. No, if some churches have farm animals, and they come every week, and they just get fed in the stall, so to speak, and then they go back home. I don't want us to be that kind of church at Life Point. I want us to be on the move. I want us to be, so to speak, spiritually on the move at least. So, Mark, he's leading us. We're not in the barn. We don't just get fed and stay there. Some animals, sad to say, they'll be at that same barn, what, all their life. These sheep, they will be all over the place. And that's what I want us to do on our walk of faith. I want us to be able to stand up and say, here's where God has taken me. Here's where God is leading me, and here's where I'm going to follow. I am the gate for the sheep. Would you turn to John chapter 10? John chapter 10. John chapter 10's got a few verses in it that I think are just amazing. You need these right here. John chapter 10. If you are here today without Jesus, I'm going to give you some verses that you'll say, maybe this has finally convinced me that I need to trust this Savior that you're talking about as my shepherd. If you're here and you're sort of away from the Lord, maybe it's time to say, Jesus, I want a fresh start with you. After reading these verses, you'll be so thankful for Jesus. You'll feel prompted. I got to just do something. If nothing else, just as you're sitting right there in that seat, thank you. I'm thankful today. I look around. If I'd leave your name out, I wouldn't want to hurt your feelings if I went around and just started naming people. But, I mean, I can grab people. Joey over there was my next door neighbor, and Joey would come in at night, and I don't know, he'd probably been out partying, drinking, you know, and I went out there one night and talked to him and see. Now, if I sit there and think of Joey for a while, I'm blinking back tears. Two things. Thank you, Daddy, a little bit, you know, next door neighbor. But Joey would come in about 11 o'clock, and I'd go out there and talk to him a little bit. I, you know, tell him about planting the church and all that, and just wasn't for him right then. He later told me, he said, you don't know, but I've been out partying and drinking. You come out there at 11:30 at night. I was walking toward my cat. And I'd meet Joey, and I'd say something about, you know, talking about God. I don't know if that was planting seeds or what. And then I walked down the aisle of Kroger one day, and I passed Joey, and he said that he'd given his life to Jesus. And we sat down and started talking with each other one day, and 5 hours later we were through. Can you imagine me talking 5 hours? Anyway, Joey was doing all the talking. I was listening. But there's a miracle sitting right there. Joey wasn't where he should have been with God, and he is now. And then I have a friend that hollers at me at McDonald's and says, I love you, Mr. Moser. Usually my students will say, I love you. But see, I'll see a miracle. I see all the miracles from Giles right there. I see a miracle that I used to say hi to campers years ago at Roanoke Valley. I look at, you know, I see a picture of Andy when he's probably 7 or 8 months old sitting on his great-great-grandfather's lap. I mean, you say, well, what's all that got to do with this? I'm touched when I read this the same as I see an old friend. So picture this as your old friend and listen to what he's going to say. He's going to say, pull up a chair and listen to this. And this old friend's going to read verses that I just, whoo. I tell you the truth. Who's this old friend? Picture Jesus speaking to you right now. He's going to talk to you about being a sheep, being a lamb. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate. If you don't come through the gate. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. There's no other way to get into this sheepfold the way you're supposed to except right here. And that's what we'd want to do if we're honest. If somebody wants a lamb, they're going to try to jump over here and try to get the lamb, or they try to harm the lamb. Anybody that's going to do things right, there's only one way. John 14:6 says, for I am the way, what? The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I like it. Jesus lays down right here. He won't let anything come get me. And nobody's going to jump. He's going to take care of me. I'll tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him. And the sheep listen to his voice. It's amazing to me that they can have thousands of sheep. And they can have different flocks of sheep, herds of sheep, and different shepherds, and the shepherd will say, come, and all his sheep right to him. He said, how in the world do you ever get those separated? But they know their master's voice. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. Now, you missed something right there if you weren't noticing this. When he has brought all of his own out, he goes what? In front of them. In front of them. He goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech that they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil. I have come that they might have life and have it to the fullest. Now, if you still don't know who this is, look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Pray with me one more time. Dear Jesus, I pray these verses would come alive and we would see you in a fresh way today. And that's my prayer. Help us to see what you've done for us, what you are doing for us even right now, and what you will do for us. But I love you. Now thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice that out of this sheepfold, be thankful that you're a sheep. We read those verses just now from John chapter 10, and you saw it. Wow. So he's the good shepherd? Yes. He's the gate. We go through that to go in there and just lay down inside and feel secure? Yes. Now, I want you to notice something about sheep. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but I can look at that and just weep. And this is me when I got saved.
Thank
you. That was back when I had wool. This is also me in high school when I finally got rid of my dumbbell days and got into college and went to a retreat that Tim invited me to, and I said, "Jesus, it's time to come home." He said, "Good to have you back." He didn't say, "Where you been?" He just said, "I love you." I thought, "Lord, I sure have missed getting a hug from you." And this is me when, you know, when my daddy passed away. This is me when my mama passes away. This is me when my kid Cat Hokie passes away. You say, "How's he do it?" Because he says, I will comfort you. You ever felt like you've been like this? Amen. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Now, in high school, I had a different color than this. Somebody probably called me the black sheep. I was still a sheep, though. You ever heard the story about Simon Peter walking on the water? I might not have been walking on the water, but I was at least in the boat. I was still saved. I was just off the path. And by the way, what's the shepherd going to do? He's going to take us on some paths, and I was off that path. Did you ever notice or think about this? How are cattle taken to the next spot? Perry watches Westerns all the time, so he'll know this. They take all the cattle and put them in a car, and they drive them. Yeah. They're driven by the trail ball. Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Notice he's behind them, and if it gets off, then they do some fun things once a year. They brand them. And by the way, when they brand them that first year, they get up and kick and butt, and four people hold him down. Next year, only three people. Next people, two. And after a while, the cow just comes up, stands there. Why? Because that area where he's been branded so long is now seared, and it's almost didn't have feeling. That's what you'll do when you wander off from God. And somebody will say, "You know, God loves Yana." Be careful of that. Because you're so seared and so insensitive that you don't even think of it. I'm not saying you got to weep as often as I do, but I can't see a picture of a lamb. I can't hardly watch Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Aslan, the lion, comes over there, and I love parts of that. I don't know if you've ever watched the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe or read it, but the lion is just amazing, and he says, "I'll take care of," who is it, Andy Peter? Is it, who's the boy that, what's the one's name that messes up and all that? What?
Edmund.
And Edmund gets off course, and, you know, in the line, Jesus could say, "I'm going to take care of Edmund." That means I'm going to pay for your sins. And he says, he's talking to the Ice Queen, and something basically says this, you know, "I'll take care of him." And the Ice Queen, who to me is the devil, says, "You just make sure you keep the law." And he goes, "I am the law." And the Ice Queen goes, "Okay." That's Jesus saying, if somebody would say, "Jesus, you make sure you keep your word," you know what Jesus would say? "I am the word." Okay. Then the Ice Queen backs up. Yeah, that's what the devil does. He cowers in front of our Jesus. So Jesus is strong, but in that movie, Aslan lays down his life. And everybody thinks, "Oh, it's all over." And Aslan comes back. Who's that in my judge? But I had a tough time watching that. I mean, because I'm not driven, and I'm not insensitive, I'm not seared. I'm more like this. How are sheep taken to the next spot? They don't drive them. He leads them. "Okay, this way, boys." Isn't that cool? Which one do you want to be? Because I tell you what, this is the world. It'll drive you. Matter of fact, it'll drive you where?
Crazy.
Got to do this. Got to do that. Yep. All right, would you rather have this? Y'all follow me. And as they start going up this path over here, these amazing things that some people call dumb, we'll get into a what going up there? They're going into a single file without anybody telling them to. I'm not so dumb after all. Turn to Psalm 23. We just read from John. Go to Psalm 23 in the Old Testament. This psalm has probably been read at more funerals, perhaps, than anything else, but I'm going to bring it to life today, or hopefully the Lord will. And I want to show you what a shepherd does, and it's going to be some amazing things. Psalm 23. What's so great about the word? I don't even really have to say that. I'm going to read this psalm, and you're going to start being touched. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's already at work. Pull out of my mouth.
Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall... King James says, I shall what? Not want. Or want nothing, or lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside. I like it. He don't drive me anywhere. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love here, and I'm sure in the King James you'd say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In John 10, we talked about Jesus being that, the gate. Well, there's Psalm 23. We're going to, again, use the idea that Jesus is a shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. He is a good shepherd. But what do these things really say? Well, we can take apart Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I lack nothing. Rephrase that for me. The Lord's my shepherd. I'm satisfied. But for to say the Lord is my shepherd, you got to be saved to say it. Because remember, if I'm leading, I'm following Jesus, He's taking me up this path, and I look over and you're over there in the woods somewhere. Maybe you haven't got into this flock yet. But once you get into the flock, see, He knows my name all the time. It's just that I need to know His name now. So He's leading me. So the Lord is my shepherd, ownership. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. How many of you ever drank from a garden hose? How many of you ever had somebody turn it out too much? Woo! All right. Those are clean now. Well, sheep can't drink from a babbling brook, or they have a tough time with waters, really. So sheep drink best from a still water. So can you imagine, we get up out of the sheepfold and everybody stretches. Jesus has been at gate all night long. He's been a house alarm. And He gets up and He takes off and we start to lead. He starts to lead us and He takes us down paths. And we walk for a while. We're going up this and that. And then He finally says, okay, time to eat about noonday. That's when shepherds like to get water for the sheep. And what He does, He finds an old whale that's been out there. And a lot of times they would have whales and they would just roll a rock over them and they'd get them some water. But about a creek, oh, this is great. And it's almost like you, I'm sure you've done this at least once in your life. Well, you've done it for your kids, or your mom and dad did it with you. You're looking for a picnic spot. You've never been in the area. And they're walking up and down hills, and your dad says, okay, oh, this is great right here. You know? Mm-hmm. Good shepherd goes, this is perfect. Lamb's coming up saying, what are you doing? Hang on. There's Edgar the lamb. Quit. Don't crawl over the bank. Come here. You, come here. All right, y'all ready?
Yep.
Perfect. Why don't y'all lay down on this grass for a while?
Can we get some meat?
This grass is great. Creek right there. They will, and often they'll do what you and I do. They'll eat some grass, drink some water, not from a gushing hose, but from that brook. I feel pretty good. Now I'm full, so I'll do what? Take a nap. So he has them lie down in the nice green grass, and they're just snuggled. When does the shepherd sleep? And he's walking around constantly. He's got a, remember the shepherd, thy rod and the staff. He's ready to ward off enemies. He's got them beside the quiet waters. And they're doing pretty good. And you know what? We wake up refreshed. It's almost like we've been restored. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. I like that. My soul's refreshed and He's got me on a straight path. The Bible says that broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to righteousness. He's got me on a straight path. And when I start going up the bank, come on, move over here, and they all get in single file, and He takes me on that straight path. I like that. But then, that sounds all good. That's not life always, is it? And then we get up one day and go, Jesus, or I'm the Lamb, Good Shepherd, He didn't stand.
Yes.
What is it? It's like some rain today. Y'all got to go around this water up here. Can we just cross the creek? No, not another thing. Can you imagine crossing the creek? It's already rising, and all that water getting in your wool, and it would what? It would weigh you down. You'll drown going across the creek. Your short path is not best. Sometimes we do that. You know, I want to ask for a show of hands that you thought something was better than what God had for you. Let me just do this. It's the best way. That will kill you. Okay? Because there's a way that seems right in the man, but its way therein is death. So God doesn't let me go across the creek so I get sucked down and drowned. He takes me around this way. And then it's getting real dark. And we get closer to Jesus. Can I put you in the mindset right there that when I was a little kid, my mom and dad would come in and they'd get groceries. I should say our mom and dad. And they'd get groceries and they'd come in and it's like, okay, we got the groceries. Can y'all go out there and get the groceries? And I'd think, oh, Dad, I'm doing something really important. I tell my dad, I'm watching TV. You know, that's much. You want to go get those groceries? Okay. And so I go out there and it's dark and I'd pick up the groceries and I'd turn in the house and the house is way off and it's dark. And you'd start walking back to the house. And you'd always run back. Why? Because you're afraid.
Yeah.
It's dark. Or if you lay down and you hear that scraping on the window, it's a mountain knife trying to break in the house. Why is your imagination run wild like that? When I went to sleep in the boys' room, Tim knows where we had to call the boys' room because the boys were in the room. We had two sets of bunk beds. My brother Dennis was on the top bunk bed one time and rolled over and hit the floor and never woke up. I call that a coma. But anyway, he next rolled over. And, by the way, you always want to have two quilts too. Because if I sleep with my brother right beside me, they hold the covers. I mean, that's it. So I would just, you know, one quilt there, one quilt. So Dennis falls asleep. Clear out of it. But I was laying there one night and I looked up and it was this tall German guard, 6'4", about 240 in the doorway. I've been watching a World War II movie, can you tell? And he had broad shoulders and I'm thinking, I'm going to get down on the floor, crawl across and save everybody. 8-year-old. And I was crawling across the floor. So, and I reached up and it was my daddy's army coat that was on a coat hanger hanging in the doorway. And that coat had become a man. You ever had fear? What would you do in some of those days? At least I got out of bed. The older I got, you know what some people do? Take the covers and do what? Cover your head. God, just don't let anybody kill you. Fear will seize you, and it'll... Joy gives me permission to tell a story, right, Joy? Okay, good. I'll quickly... Joy lives beside me. Used to. One night, I lay down with Andy, and I told him a story. They do always sing, and I'd go back in there and lay down. Andy's asleep, I'm asleep, and then he wakes up and says something like that. I went, I have at it. Aren't you going to get up? You need to get up. So I got up, and I thought, there's nobody there. Beneath that half sleep, I get in Andy's room, and I got down on all fours. It's like, what am I doing? I felt stupid. I mean, I'm crawling on all fours, and went over to the windowsill, like, just in case, no one up there. There is a bathroom. There's somebody out there. Get in. Went back over there, and I said, gee, there is somebody outside Andy's. And I thought, maybe I could kind of be a hero. I think I'm going to let Joey's daddy, be a hero with me. I'm going to call next door. And we're going to meet whoever's in between our house. And I think, wait a minute, let me get one more look. I want to see how big this guy is. And I pull back the curtain and he's out there. Okay. Now look over it. Where Joey lived, there's a clothes hamper sitting outside of the bedroom. And I'm thinking, most thieves don't carry around a clothes hamper unless he's stealing their clothes. No. Or maybe somebody is. I said, wait a minute. That's his sister Kim's room. So I call. Sue answers the phone about 3 o'clock in the morning. Hello? She's probably up with her dogs that were barking anyway. But anyway, those dogs, I love them. I'd say, Sue, can you look outside and make sure Kim's in her room? She said, what? All right. She went and checked. She came back. All right, thanks. See, I was going to meet in between the house. Kim was going to sneak out the window of her bedroom and go with her boyfriend. They had a blue car. We had a blue car. They had a gray car. They were at the wrong, came to the wrong house is what it was. He's looking in Andy's bedroom window instead of Kim's. You think he didn't put a clothes hamper outside our door when he started coming in? How do you think I felt when I was... That was a cloudy day for me. That was a dark day. I was sitting there thinking, you're sort of fearful. I'm glad I don't have to put up with that all the time. So I was scared, and here's what he says. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they come for me. I've read that even on my shadow days, now I made that fun, but we can have shadow days of cancer. We can have shadow days of health problems. Don't you dare sit there and say you've never woke up in the night. Is that just, am I? I'm dying. I got a heart attack. You know, the devil will just jump on me. I'm going to have a headache that'll turn into brain aneurysm. The devil gets his head with that. He'll worry me to death. And I said, stop it. Stop it. Nothing's going to... A shadow day will not scare me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I read about this... The rod and the staff. He says he sometimes holds his staff out like this, and when the sheep come in, he'll hold the staff out and they'll walk right through that. And if there's anything on them that's like this, he's just sort of raking them as they go by. He's getting rid of the loose stuff. I like that. What kind of dark day? The shepherd's staff comforts me. He rakes them like this when they go by. The loose stuff falls, and it's almost like we've been out there planning everything. And your mom or dad say, here, let me brush you off. Come on in the house. Now wipe your feet. Okay, good. And then they brush off. I get brushed off by Jesus. How often do you have to get brushed off, by the way? Real, how often do you think you need to get brushed off from this world?
All the time.
I'm glad you didn't say every day. How about every minute?
All the time.
Jesus, I had another flying thought to me. I'm sorry. I forgive you. Breaking you off. Got that staff just coming down through there. I think it's neat. Okay. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I looked this up the other day, and I'd never noticed this before, so I watch this change your mind the way you look at Psalm 23. You say, so far, I'm this lamb, I got this. I'm not going to be scared of the shadowy days. But I thought this was neat. Two things jump out of this to me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. They said in the Middle East, at times if someone was being chased down, that they could go and find a house, and the house was almost like, what do you call those houses that I can go and stay and nobody can get me there?
Sanctuary.
Safe house. That's a sanctuary city, if you would. It's sort of like that. Well, they said when they would do that, they would find somebody that I could get into the house and they were keeping me. My enemies show up, but because of the custom, the law, or because of the way, culture, whatever it is, if I was immediately turned out, they can get me. Instead, these people that I don't even know say, Joe, come on in, sit down, I'll give you a meal. You prepared a table before me in the presence. My enemies cannot do what? They can't come in the house. And I'm sitting down there, and I pull up to that meal that a total stranger, he puts before me, and I go, man, thanks, and I look out the window. You can't touch me. I'm in the house. Okay, who's the house? Jesus. Who's the enemy? The devil. And I say, God, I got a lot on my plate. And says, Jesus says, wait a minute, before you do stuff on your plate, I got one on mine. Read this word. Taste it. It's like a honeycomb. And I read a verse, and I see, he says, and I look, and the devil's way over there, but he can't touch me. And you've prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Here's the dirty work that the shepherd gets to do. You anoint my head with oil. I looked this up for a shepherd. I used to get this picture that he'd just take a cup of oil and pour it on me like, it feels good. No, it's not that. This oil is more like a salve. And he said once, if he bathes his lambs, leads them through a creek, got to make sure it's not too deep, they'll drown. But if he washes them up and comes back out and says, okay, you good? It was fine. But when they'd go through the dust and stuff, they said, over in the Middle East, sorry, I know we haven't eaten lunch yet, but flies would start getting them on them. And flies would actually fly up their nose at times. And they would try to lay eggs. And it would actually, it could eventually, you've heard the old phrase, it would make them go. So here's what they'd do. They'd bang their head on the ground like this or on the post because the pain was so much of the flies being in there. And so they'd bang their head, creating havoc to them. So guess what the shepherd does? Cleans everything out of the nose. You ever change the diaper? Yeah, don't sit there and like, I'll do dirty work. Yeah, you do. Your mom did it too. We're doing the dirty work right here. Come here. Now hang on. Let's get all those fly eggs and everything else. Then you take oil, salve. He'd coat their nose so that the fly could not get up the nose. We're walking around just coated. So remember that when you put Vicks Vapor Rub on, you walk through the kitchen? Everybody's breathing better. Using that Vicks Vapor Rub again? Here's your Hall's cough drop. Let's just go all the way. Oh, felt like a medicine cabinet had been opened up, but you felt good, didn't you? How about that? Anybody ever put it on the ball of your teeth? Keep you from coughing. Try. Okay. Vicks Vapor Rub on the bottom of your feet. Pull your socks up. Oh, breathe better. It must just be going up through you. Well, imagine this little lamb coming over and he gets all coated up, goes back over his roof. So he's hard, but you know, I'm good. Flies can't bother me anymore. Isn't that cool? And the shepherd goes, good, puts that back in the bag. You guys get away from my creek. Come on. Now back into the line and keep on going. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul, puts that coating on me. Sheep in the Middle East are not driven from behind the flock as they might be herded in other parts of the world. They are led by the shepherd walking in front of them. Forms a path for the flock to follow. This is why all the sheep are guided so well. They follow single file in the path set by the feet of the shepherd. Conditions for shepherding in the ancient Near East were often different from modern practice. For example, sheep were not fenced in. They were left to fend for themselves. It's a good thing, a bad thing about that. We'll just let y'all go play in the grass, but if you're not careful, what do some of the sheep try to do? They'll wander off. Then he has to come get you over the bank. Then he pulls out not the staff, you know, the crook, shepherd's crook, and then he'll put it around your neck and pull you back up the bank. Some of us have wandered off. He comes and gets us. Matter of fact, the Bible says he'll even leave the 90 and 9 and go get the what? The one. You ever felt like the one before? Something to be thankful for. For example, sheep are not fenced in but left to fend for themselves. Instead, they were left in the open and were entirely dependent on the shepherd's ability to protect them, to lead them to good grazing grounds, to lead them to water, to provide shelter, to watch over them at nighttime, even on the dark days. Shepherds able to lead the sheep through the valleys that had cast some very deep shadows. For down in the valley, the mountains seemed to be so much bigger. The traditional rendering of the valley of the shadow of death is this, the valley of the shadow of death. The Hebrew word is S-A-L-M-A-W-T, Samalet, which may be the expression of deep darkness. Anybody ever been in deep darkness before? Imagery is faithful to the shepherd, for he must lead the flock through that dark place. The dark days are the uncertainties of life. That is why even though our past may take us through a dark valley, we have nothing to fear. But the Lord's with us. In fact, the very name of Yahweh had its underlying promises. I'll be with you. I'll keep you. See, your rod and staff are with me. Shepherds only carry two pieces of equipment, a rod and a staff. I like the rotting of the sheep. I still like that. He just holds the rod over them. In this practice, a shepherd would place his rod across the backs of the sheep as they entered into the fold to make sure all the sheep and the lambs were accounted for. What if he said 48, 49? Oh, no. Who are we missing? And if somebody's missing, he'd go get you. So he's counting them and he's getting stuff off of them, too. You anoint my head with oil. The sheep can become so distracted by these dive-bombing flies that fly up their nose. They'll stop grazing. They'll hide in the protection of a bush to avoid the flies. And then once they're over there, they're in a dangerous place to where the enemy can come get them. So they need to stay with the group. So the ointment that the salve that the shepherd put on them kept the flies away. And finally, the last thing. The psalmist is assured of God's goodness and his love. Hebrew word hesed, his covenantal love never changes. Just as he had promised it from the very beginning, God's going to take care of us. His goodness and mercy are going to follow us. So right here, surely your goodness will follow me all the days of my life. I want to give you a picture as we get ready to close. Who's leading us? The good shepherd. Who's following us? Goodness and mercy. We're in between. Chris Tomlin wrote a song, he says, "For I know who goes before me, I know who goes behind. The God of angel armies, he's always on my side. The God of angel armies is Jesus. Jesus is my good shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy or love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And you say, "Well, so I have to stay in the church forever?" No. What we do, we get to stay in the Lord, who is really our sanctuary, who is our goodness and mercy. He's sort of like church to me. And if I enjoy Jesus, I enjoy his house. So I enjoy Jesus forever. So has it been a while since you've been with the good shepherd? I don't know, but you have enough to be thankful for. I'll close with this simple reminder from a Max Lucado story. He said there was a storm brewing in the West Texas field, and the dad went out in the field. And he's trying to put away things and says, "Family, get in there, lock down every thing, and I'll go back out here." Now the wind's really picking up. And the mom inside gets a mattress off the bed and hides all the kids and her underneath it and thinking, "Okay, if glass busts out of this, we got to be protected." The dad's out there in the yard trying to pick up stuff. And as he's putting away the last few things, it's really whipping him. And he goes down and starts to pick up something. He looks around. Little bit does he know, his little boy under the mattress, safety inside with mom, keeps squirming if he's armed, and he pushes away like mom, like, "Wait!" And he takes off, runs out the door, runs all the way through there, and the wind's just beating to pieces, and he grabs, and he reaches up, and his dad looks down. He grabs hold of his arm. He says, "What are you doing out here?" He said, "I just know if I'm with you, I'll be safe." So in the midst of a storm, where you want to be? I've sat on a sidewalk outside of Giles Memorial Hospital, and they told me my daddy wouldn't be around. Next thing you know, Melanie comes out, and we're sitting there going, and that's when you latch on. Because even though it's a storm, I know what? It'll be okay. So I don't know. I think we latch on to one arm, we get the other one, we'll be okay. What storm are you going through? I know if I'm with you, I'll be okay. Because what? You lead me on the path of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through what? Shadowy day. You're my good shepherd. I'm not going anywhere. What about stuff that bothers you? These sins that let him anoint you and put the oil of protection over you, and then the sins will start. Hey, I'm not bothered as much because I've got some sad. Where are we going now? Not so bad, you know, I am, is it? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you are the good shepherd, but on one day you chose to be the Lamb of God that sacrificed yourself for us. You gave yourself. Didn't need to. Matter of fact, on that night that you prayed and blood actually popped through the pores, the part of you that the human part says, "Oh, it's going to be so tough tomorrow." But you went ahead and did that for us anyway. You even prayed and said, "Father, if there's any other way, if this cup could pass from me, the cup of death and suffering. Humanly speaking, I don't know. I don't want to do this, but it's not my will, it's yours. Your will was to send your son, Jesus. Thanks for being a willing sacrifice." And I'm thankful now that you were buried, you rose again, you're seated at the Father's right hand, you're a risen Savior. It's something to be excited about. Now you give me that image again that I'm the Lamb. And you're my good shepherd. And you tell us in the book of John in chapter 10, later in those verses, that I am safe in your palm. And then your palm is in God's palm, and I'm safe and secure. So, Lord, thank you for being a good shepherd. Thank you for leading me through that narrow gate. For I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I came through you. You're my gate. And you take me, you lead me through this life. And we'll stop in the sheepfold, and you'll protect me at night. And on the cloudy days, you hug me, and you put ointment on me, and you pull me from falling over a bank. Lord, you're my good shepherd. Help me to follow you so close. And Jesus, on the days we barely get a prayer out of our lips, it's a thank prayer, but you said, my sheep know my voice. Lord, you know our voice. So, Lord, may you speak to us even now as we close your time together.